We're going to sing that chorus again. But I just felt like at 9:30 and then again today that we needed to kind of change the service a little bit. This has been a crazy few weeks in our country. And I know many of you are hurting by all this transpired from that those precious two children in Minnesota, 8 years of age and 10 years of age, I believe, that were tragically killed at a school shooting. The shooting in Denver, Colorado this week. The young lady from Ukraine, she was a refugee here, Arena, I believe her name was, stabbed to death in a train, and then the assassination of Charlie Kirk. And if all this has taught us anything, is that we need Jesus. This is not a Republican issue. It's not a Democrat issue. It's a humanity issue. And I'm not a political person. I'm sharing this because society, our society, locally and nationally, is broken. And government is not the answer. They cannot fix it. You cannot win a spiritual battle with physical weapons. Jesus is the answer. He's who can bring people together that nothing else could bring together. Jesus. We need revival. So I want to open, well, it's always open, but we don't normally do it at this time in the service, but the altar's open. And I've asked for Zach and Sarah to lead us and the team. Don't they do a great job? Unbelievable. And all these students, man, I'm so proud of you. We need you. Watching all of you with your hands in the air praising God. Man, I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of you. We need you. We need your passion. We need the fact that you're willing to risk it all. We need your boldness. We need what you've got to get on old people like me and stir our hearts. So we're going to open this altar for prayer. Many people came at 9:30. We're going to sing. We're going to pray for our nation. Some of you may be here for the first time in church in a long time or ever because of what's transpired over the last couple of weeks, and you're rattled, you're scared, and you're here. You're in the right place. Jesus is the answer. Let's sing.
You deserve. Somerset campus is watching right now too. If you're in this room right now, you're watching online, you're in Somerset, I want you to know this. Coming forward to pray doesn't mean you have something wrong with you. It doesn't mean there's a problem in your life to fix. So there's no reason to be embarrassed about coming forward. The reason we come forward is because we're saying this. By myself, I don't have enough. I don't have what it takes to solve the issues that are in my life. And the reality is this. Look around this room. In Somerset, look around the room. The person to your left and to your right, they got issues too. We're all in the same boat because at the foot of the cross, the ground is level, amen. And so what I want to do is invite, even at your seat, because right now this there's not a lot of room to come forward, but at your seat, I would ask that you just begin to pray. That our church wouldn't just be a gathering of people that just meet on Sunday mornings because it's Sunday and that's what we do on Sunday. But we would begin to view these times as times where we come and meet with God because he wants to meet with his people. And I don't know if you're like me, but I've sat in your seat before. And going through the motions of faith didn't do anything but exhaust me. But the moment that I decided either my faith matters or it doesn't matter, and either Jesus deserves my whole life or he doesn't get any of it at all and I'm just gonna live for myself. But I can promise you this, the moment you decide to give him more of yourself, you'll never ever regret it. There'll never be a moment that you regret giving Jesus more of your life because he in return will give you more life. He's the author of life, that's what he does. And so as we're praying, we'll stay here as long as we need to. But let me just pray over you right here in this room online in Somerset. Father God, as we continue to pour our hearts out to you, as we continue to just rest in your presence, because your presence is a promise. You promise wherever two or three are gathered, you are right there in the midst. You promise that you inhabit, you live in the praise of your people. So you are here, God. And to the best of our ability, we lean in the best that we can, even though sometimes we don't even understand what that means. But we know, God, that you are real and you're inviting us into a greater relationship with you. Father, I pray that you would begin to answer every prayer that's being called out to you right now, that you would hear those prayers, that you would stir us up from the inside, that we wouldn't be a people who just go through the motions, but we would be a people who truly live our lives in worship to you. We parent our kids as worship to you. We serve our neighbors and our friends and our families as worship to you. We treat our coworkers with love and respect and dignity as worship to you. That just like your word says, they would see our good deeds and glorify you, God. Fill us with awe and wonder of who you are. We're grateful for your mercy that you would visit with us here in this place. Because of the cross, we can come boldly before your throne. We glory in your cross. We glory in your life, your death, your resurrection. This church is yours, God. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would just meet the needs of your people. If there's people who are sick in the room in their body, Lord, I pray that you would begin to heal in the name of Jesus. If people are sick in their soul or in their mind, God, I pray for renewed minds, peace of mind. Your word says that we put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And so, Lord, if there's people that are carrying heaviness under the sound of my voice, as we praise you, I pray that that would be lifted and healed. Thank you for your love for us. Thank you for your mercy and your kindness to your people. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Wow. Wow. I want to welcome all of our locations in Somerset, Williamsburg, those online. And would you just guys welcome all of our locations as they're joining us? I think Zach may have already welcomed you guys. kind of messy this morning, but messy's good, amen? This is what we prayed for. This is what we fasted for. This is it. So I'm just going to speak for a few minutes because I want to give plenty of time to baptize as many people as we can. All right, so you can be seated. I just want to talk to you for about maybe 10 minutes, 15 minutes. Because I just want to share a few things with you. Then we're going to baptize as many as we can. There is a possibility that if God really moves and we see a lot of baptisms, that we could see right here in the middle of September baptizing more people in a year than the church has ever seen. The most that we've ever baptized here, which is an amazing number, I believe is 252. I think it was either 2013 or 2014, which is amazing, amazing. I believe we're at 151 or 150 or 161, somewhere right in that area right now. About 130 of something since April of this year. So how many would like to see over 100 people baptized over the next 4 days? Man, I believe we may even see it in this service. That's why I want to speak quickly and get done. So all of us have played hide and seek, right? You know what that game? You know that game, hide and seek? I mean, as parents, we play it with our kids, and it's kind of fun as a parent because your kids think they can hide, but they can't. So they hide behind little poles like this, and they've got their hands over their face, and they think you can't see them, but you can. We all know that game. And today in this room and in Somerset and Williamsburg, and even those of you joining us online, there's a cosmic game of hide and seek that's being played. Now here's the rule or the way this game is played. The one that is hidden doesn't try to find the one who is seeking. It's the one who's seeking that seeks to find the one that's hidden. Now, it's no mistake when you travel through a book. We've been in the book of John. This is week 7. I've never taught through a book like this. All right? They tell me we haven't done this here in a long time, maybe ever, like go through a book. I don't want to say ever because the church has been around since the Civil War, so it probably has happened. But that's no joke. The church is 164, 165 years old. Started when I was in middle school. You know what I mean? So it's a long time ago. But anyway, it's no mistake that we land on the story that we land on today. God knew what we would need today 500 years ago. And he's led us into this story. This is a famous story. It's the story of the Samaritan woman. The story of the woman at the well. How many of you have ever heard of this story? Just raise your hand, okay? A number of you. A lot of you haven't. That's okay. That's great. That means we're reaching our target. I love it. Years ago in Tampa, I said, in a service like this, about this size, I said, how many of you have ever heard of Billy Graham? About 6 hands went up. I said, that's awesome. That means we're hitting our target. I love it. All right. So to understand this, real quickly, you have to understand the racial divide, the unbelievable tension that was in first century Israel that Jesus was walking in physically. You got to go back hundreds and hundreds of years before this story. The Assyrian Empire had captured back then, the Jewish people were divided into 2 kingdoms. The northern kingdom was known as Israel. The southern kingdom was known as Judah. To get a reference on your map, Jerusalem was in Judea. The Assyrians captured the northern kingdom of Israel and had taken people captive to Assyria. They left a remnant of Jewish people there, and they began to intermingle with the Canaanites and the Jebusites and the Perizzites and everybody else, all right? They began to intermingle. That was a joke, by the way. They began to mingle and intermarry, and begin to worship their pagan gods. So out of this remnant of people became a people group known as the Samaritans. They were half Jewish and half another nation. The Jewish people hated them. They saw them lower than a wild dog. And the Samaritans, in return, hated the Jews. Hated them. Also, they had built their own temple to God at Mount Gerizim, because they wouldn't go and worship in Jerusalem at the temple that Herod had built. It was a replica of Solomon's temple. They wouldn't do that. So there was all this divide. Plus, the Samaritans only believed that the first five books of the Old Testament, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, that was all that the Bible was. They didn't believe the rest of the Old Testament, where the Jewish nation believed all of the Old Testament was from God. So you had racial divide, you had religious divide, you had deep hatred. Now understand that when we get into this story. John 4, verse 4, here we go. He had to go through Samaria on the way. Now, why did he have to go through Samaria? Not Jewish people didn't go through Samaria. They would go around Samaria and make a 3-hour trip, a 6-hour trip. Jesus had to go because there was a woman coming to a well. Like I said last week when we studied Nicodemus, we're going to find ourselves in this story. We found ourselves in the story of Nicodemus. We're going to find ourselves in the story of this woman. Eventually, he came to the Samaritan village of Sychar near the field that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired from the long walk, sat wearily beside the well about noontime. Why did she come at noon? The hottest part of the day. Because in that day, the women came to the well early in the morning or late in the evening. She came at noontime because she was ashamed. She was embarrassed. She didn't want to be looked at. She didn't want to be talked about. Soon a Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Please give me a drink." Now I'm going to stop there because I got to give you this. You got to understand it. For a Jewish man, much less a rabbi like Jesus was, to talk to a Samaritan woman was awful in their culture. If a married Jewish man talked to another married Jewish woman that just talked to her, that wasn't his wife, it was a divorceable offense. To talk to a Samaritan woman, off the church. You have to understand how much women were repressed. It was looked down upon for a Jewish man to have a conversation with his wife. Why would you waste your time talking to a woman? It was so bad that it was seen as just stupid to teach your daughters the Torah. So, by the way, I've got both of my daughters here today, Catherine and Caroline. My mom is here today, Pam. So welcome. And Tim and Stephanie Painter. Tim is speaking tomorrow night. Stand up, Tim. Stand up. He's tomorrow night. Give him your love. All right. Okay. So they said it was a complete waste of time to teach your daughters the scriptures. It was seen so awful, it was on the same level as selling your daughter into prostitution. Women, don't ever believe the lie that Jesus and the church have repressed women. That is a lie. Jesus brought honor to women. Jesus lifted up women. Jesus empowered women. The rights that they have today and should have today, they ought to have everything. The reason you have it today is because of Jesus and the church. Did you know that? That's history. That's fact. He was alone at the time because his disciples had gone into the village to buy some food. The woman was surprised for Jews refused to have anything to do with Samaritans. She said to Jesus, "You're a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan woman. Why are you asking me for a drink?" Now, the first thing we learn, I'm going to move through this quickly, is that he knows I needed to be here today. Whether you're in London Somerset, Williamsburg, or on your couch. It is a well. Jesus sought after this woman. He went to Samaria. He went into what was seen as enemy territory. He went into what nobody that was fully Jewish would ever do. He broke every cultural barrier. He did every cultural no-no. He broke every religious rule you could break. He went in there because she mattered more than anything else. And so do you. There is not any cultural barrier. There's not anything you've done that could get in the way of what Jesus wants to do in your life today. Before you were ever born, he knew you would be in the room that you're in on the 14th of September, 2025. He knew it. He knew it. And what he did for this woman, he wants to do for you. Let's keep moving. Verse 10. Jesus replied, "If you only knew the gift God has for you and who you are speaking to, you would ask me and I would give you living water." Now watch. "But sir, you don't have a rope or a bucket," she said. "And this well is very deep. Where would we get this living water? And besides, do you think you're greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us this well? How can you offer better water than he and his sons and animals enjoyed?" Now notice, Jesus is speaking to a heart level she can't get past the bucket and the rope and the well. And we do the same thing. The Spirit of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, is speaking to you this morning. He's already been moving. You're feeling a tug. And our nature is to go to a physical reason that we can't. But Jesus, there's a lot of people here. "But Jesus, I got to go to work tomorrow. But Jesus, all the things, all this other stuff in my life, I need a new car. My car's breaking down. You know what? I need, we go to all of these physical reasons to deflect because we cannot hear what he's saying to us because we're so consumed with what's physical. Remember Nicodemus? You must be born again. You mean I got to go back in my mother's womb? Physical. You mean I got to turn back the clock? Jesus is like, "Hey, bud, look, we're talking about something more than your mama giving birth. We're talking about God giving birth in your soul." Jesus replied, "Anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again. But those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. It becomes fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life." He's saying the water there, the living water, is the Holy Spirit. He says, when you turn to me as your Savior, I deposit the Holy Spirit into you. And he births a new creation. And the Holy Spirit never leaves you. And he guides you into a life of purpose and fulfillment that quenches thirst. He reminds you of what the Bible says about who you really are in Jesus and what you've learned from messages and what you've learned in small groups and what you've learned with good friends about how Jesus actually sees you and it quenches your thirst. He guides you in ways that you begin to see the activity of God in your life like you saw this morning already. And there was something in the moment with these people, these students, these adults coming and weeping before a holy God. There's something in you that like, yes, 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 this is it. Yes, it's what I want. Yeah, there's what that is the Holy Spirit to those of you that have given your life to Jesus. He is quenching a thirst. That's what's happening. Second thing we learn. Not only he knows I needed to be here, but number two, he knows the hurts I keep hidden. See, Jesus was going, he was speaking to her heart. He knew there was something hidden. He knew there was something she was hiding from. And just like the game of hide and seek, she wasn't trying to find the finder. The finder was finding the one that was hidden. He knew it. Look at me. The thing you don't want anybody to know about your life that you keep hidden, he knows it. What you're most embarrassed by, he knows it. which you don't want anybody. So I don't want my wife to know, my husband to know, my parents to know. I don't want anybody. This is a battle I have. I battle this addiction, right? I've got this hurt I can't get past, or I'm going through this struggle mentally in my life, right? Whatever it is, he knows. And see, when I keep things hidden, it isolates me. This is the main reason most people stay away from church. Do you know that? Because they believe there's something wrong with them, that other people that go to church don't have problems, and that if anybody knew that they battled with this, they would be rejected, they would be humiliated, they would be judged. Listen, the church is the place. Look at me. Remember when I said earlier, government is not the answer. I'm not against government. It's not the answer. You can't fix a spiritual problem with physical weapons. The church of Jesus Christ is where people who disagree come together to agree on him. The church of Jesus Christ is where we don't let anything get in the way to the value of a person and their soul. The church is the place. Understand, to the churches in the New Testament, you had an intense racial divide that was everywhere in the community, but it died in the church. You had masters sitting with slaves. You had the rich sitting with the poor. You had Samaritans sitting with Jews. You had other nationalities. You had things that didn't transpire in the market. It didn't transpire in the temple. It didn't transpire anywhere, that it happened in the church, because in the church is the body of Christ and Jesus is the answer. And if there's any place in life that we ought to be able to be who we are without a mask on and not have to hide and not have to run, is the church. That's what we're seeking to build here at the Creek Church. This is the place that regardless of what you're battling with, that regardless of where you are in life, that this is a safe place, because we believe that Jesus knows. And when you bring things into the light, it loses its power. Third point, I told you I was moving fast. Verse 16, Jesus says, go and get your husband. Jesus told her, I don't have a husband. The woman replied, remember, this is why she came at noon, okay? Jesus said, you're right. See, he knows. Look what Jesus says. You don't have a husband, for you've had five husbands, and you aren't even married to the man you're living with now. Jesus just goes right to it. It's like the Holy Spirit's doing in your life right now. And notice her response. You certainly spoke the truth. She doesn't say, well, you know what? I'm getting up. I'm not going to listen to this. No, didn't do that. She didn't just go and get on social media and start burning people down on social media. She wasn't blowing up Facebook because she disagreed. She said, you certainly spoke the truth. He knows I needed to be here. Number two, he knows the hurts that I keep hidden. Number three, he knows what stays hidden doesn't get healed. As long as you don't confess it, he doesn't heal it. What you keep hidden doesn't get healed. Here's what Jesus was saying. Hey, girl, go get the reason you come at noon. Go get the thing you're most embarrassed by. Go get that big regret. Go get that big hurt. Go get it and bring it to me. That's what revival is all about. Revival begins with a person. And they say, I want nothing between me and Jesus. I'm going to take you at your word, Jesus, and I'm going to go get that. Some of you need to go get the affair and give it to Jesus. I mean, the one that you've already discussed and talked about and confessed to that happened 15 years ago, but you walk with your head down because you believe you're a second-class citizen in the church and with Jesus because of an affair you had 15 years ago. Go get it and bring it to Jesus because you don't have to live with the shame anymore. Go get that thing. Go get that regret. Go get that betrayal. Go get that financial decision. Go get it. Go get it. Go get it. Go get it and bring it to me. Rick Warren said it years ago. I've quoted it many times. You're only as sick as your secrets. Confession is good for the soul. We talked about in a previous series the move of God that's happening in their generation all around our nation right now. And around the world too. If you study revival history and moves of God all over the earth, they're all different. But there's one thing that remains the same. They always begin with confession. Many times, open confession. Don't get nervous. Open confession. The movement that happened at Asbury a year and a half ago started when people started confessing sin. And they would, I heard Zach talk about it. Somebody would come down and say, I'm doing X, Y, and Z. And the whole crowd would go, you're forgiven in Jesus' name. Somebody else, I've done this and this. You're forgiven in Jesus' name. You're forgiven in Jesus' name. You're forgiven in Jesus' name. You know, after this, she just takes off and starts inviting people to come to hear from Jesus. Here's what Jesus knows. He knows that found people find people. People that have experienced the healing that only Jesus can bring want people they know and love to experience the same thing. I got three questions for you, then we're going to pray. Number one, what is the pattern I keep pursuing? So this woman, by the way, church history records her name to be Fotini. She became such an evangelist in that region. She reached her family, became one of the most instrumental figures in the early church, that Nero, the Emperor Nero, martyred her and her family for her faith. At one time, she had a pattern of running to a man to get fulfillment. See, she had a thirst and thought a man was the Gatorade. That one didn't work, so she got another one. That didn't work, she got another one. That one didn't work, got another one, that didn't work, got another one, that didn't work. Now she had another guy and it wasn't working with him either. What is the pattern in your life that you want Jesus to heal you from? Number two, what are the hurts I'm hiding? What am I most embarrassed by? And number three, will you go get it and bring it to Jesus today? I want our campus pastors to take it at this moment at our different locations and begin to lead in this moment of prayer and then into baptisms. Here in London, let's just bow our heads and close our eyes. Will you go get it? I want to talk first of all to people in this room that your first step is you need that spiritual birth. I mean, you're a good person, but you've never been born again. Jesus is a cultural thing to you. It's a traditional thing. It's never been a life-changing thing. You've never been saved. There's not fruit of that decision in your life. With heads bowed and eyes closed, this room is packed to the walls. Don't be scared of that. If you say, Brad, I got to be honest with you, bro. I need it. If that's you across this room, just put your hand up in the air. Brad, I need to be born again. Put them up high. Thank you. Put them up high. Come on now. Don't be ashamed. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you. Thank you. All over. Thank you. 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 All right. Look, here's what we're going to do. Let's all stand together right now. Let's all stand together. There were hands that went up in every section. Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to count to three. If you raised your hand, I want you to step out into the aisle. I want the students to lead the way, the ones that raised your hand, to step out in this aisle and come right down here. Adults, you come right down here. I'm not going to embarrass you. I won't put a mic in your face. I want to pray with you and help you cross that line and be born again and be born spiritually right here, right now. You ready? You ready to cheer for them, Creek Church? Here we go. One, two, three. Come on, let's go. Step back. Come on. Come on. That's it. Come on. That's it. Come on. Come on. It's good. Come on down. Thank you. Amen. Come on. Come on down. Come on, buddy. Come on down. Come on now, everybody stand right here. Just all stand right here. Come on. Come on now. Come on. Don't be afraid. Thank you, buddy. Come on down. Come on, girls. That's great. That's what it's all about. It's all about. Come on. Thank you, ma'am. Come on now. I love it. I love it when our adults start doing it. Come on now. Today's the day. Amen. So proud of all of you. So proud of you. I want to lead you in a prayer. It's not a magical prayer. You're not praying to me. You're not praying to the Creek Church. You're not praying to a saint. You're praying to Jesus. Okay? And Jesus said in Romans 10:13 that whoever calls upon his name, he'll save them. That means you. And what you're doing is you're admitting that you cannot earn God's forgiveness. Do you admit that? I can't earn it? Do you admit that it's your sins, just like my sins, that nailed Jesus to the cross? Are you with me on that? Okay. So we're going to pray and make that confession to Jesus. And what's going to happen is the Holy Spirit of God is going to come live in you right here, right now, and birth a brand new person. All of your sins, past, present, future, are wiped clean by the blood of Jesus. You're washed clean. You ready? I want you to pray this prayer with me. Just pray it out loud with me. Say, Dear Jesus, I admit that I'm a sinner and I cannot save myself. But I believe you died on a cross and rose again for me. And today I'm repenting of my sin. And I'm turning to you, Jesus. And I ask you to come live in my soul and power wash me clean from the inside out. I'm choosing to follow you as my Lord from this day forward, regardless of the cost. In Jesus' name. Amen.